Right, then, thank you very much for coming back. Sorry, I'm having a emotionally driven hemorrhage in the nose. The excitement of the occasion has got to me. So, right, we've got two presentations, Shireen and Special Reese there, who's returned from his sick bed. So, thank you very much. Hope you're all right. So, we've had, I thought the presentations this morning were just absolutely excellent as a starting point for the discussion. So now we're going to focus much more on the social care specific stuff. Shireen, first of all, and Jose Luis, we'll give them half an hour each, and then we'll use the rest of the time up till our end time of 3 o'clock for more general discussion. Things that come from this morning will come from this afternoon's presentation. So I'm going to hand over to Shireen, she can do her own introduction and talk us through.
Thank you very much, Martin, for inviting me to come and speak today. I'm Shireen Hussain and I'm a Senior Research Fellow at the Social Care Workforce Research Unit at King's. And from the very long title of the unit, we are very much interested in the workforce. So today, we had fantastic presentation this morning, so there has been fabulous in terms of looking at the advantages and also some of the difficulties with longitudinal data. But I'm going to focus on what have been referred as administrative data, or I'm calling it here routinely collected data. I'm going to give a specific example. So that was just a brief summary of what we've heard this morning, is that the main advantage really of longitudinal that you can control for individual heterogeneity, which is the random mix of, the mix of the fixed and random, the stuff you can't observe, or you didn't observe because you followed the same unit or individual. So that the people serve as their own control, and then you can really come up with different, more stronger, causality and relationship. But there are obviously huge challenges, and we didn't touch this morning about the statistical analysis and quantitative analysis, because that one of the biggest tricky parts when you move from convenience cross-sectional methods to longitudinal methods. And there has been a lot of developments in the recent years, but even the very well-known methods, when you go to longitudinal, it becomes more tricky, more complicated. And also attrition and missing data and availability of data, as especially in the context of social care, what can be relevant and how can we use it. So I'm going to look at something called NMDS, which is the National Minimum Dataset for Social Care, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background and why it has started. Well, basically, there have been a lot of estimates about the social care workforce, but because the social care definition is not very well defined, that has been very difficult over the years, and the usual estimates derived from labour force survey or other national surveys. But the division of occupation categories doesn't really cover very well social care, and usually covers social care and health together. And in some situations, there are many job roles that are not covered, especially those who provide domiciliary care or in the community and or do different roles. So in 2005, there was a lot of money coming from the DH to try to set up a national data collection to try to have a better grasp of this growing workforce. And that was Skills for Care, which is the Citrus Girl Council, was in charge of collecting this data. In 2007, it became online. And I'm going to talk about what's the data, what it's about, because that is very important in that context. This year, it is reaching a national data status, which is fabulous, which means that everybody should complete it and it becomes a national data. Where we get involved, that we have been, as a unit, the Social Care Workforce Research Unit, have been involved from the very beginning with the establishment of the NMDS on a consultancy basis with the Skills for Care. But in 2010, we reached an agreement with them that we will try to look at the data that they've been collected over the year and try to construct some longitudinal perspective about the workforce. And that is what we've been doing. This is part of it I'm going to discuss today. So, maybe that picture will make things easier. So we've got a lot of social care. It's aimed at the unit here is the provider. So rather than a household or an individual, is the provider. To define a provider is something that we can talk about as well. Who's the provider, especially when we talk about personalization and the individual budget. The service becomes the provider, and actually they have been included recently as a person who is employing another one. But let's take the classic case, same thing, for example, domiciliary care agency or residential home, that's a provider. And then until recently, not all providers were obliged. There was no obligation to complete the NMDS. There were incentives in the form of more training, more funds for training. And the provider comes and completes the NMDS. And the completion covers two things, two big data sets. One, that the provider provides aggregate information on the workforce that they employ with some level of details. So, for example, how many social workers, how many support staff, how many different job roles, and the last year, what are the vacancies, how many has left, why are people leaving, what type of service they are providing, and quite a lot of information. Then the same provider provides detailed information about individual workers, but they don't have to provide 100% of the workers. Some of them provide 5%, 10%, the average was around 60%. So if they said we've got 100, they provide details about 60 of their staff, but some of them actually provide 100%. So the detailed, what are the details? It's like gender, ethnicity. Recently, since 2010, migration status, nationality, country of birth, how many years they have been working with them, their qualifications, are they working towards the project, etc. So there are so many questions. But we have to remember that this is provided by the employer. So some of the sensitive information, especially about disability, migration, whether the provider knows or assumes, or so that there are questions here about accuracy. Then you've got these two databases, and then you can link them. Skillscare works out like ID for provider and ID for the workers. And that is key here because although that is not a cohort study in following the same individual, you can find the individuals later on the data. The structure, if I go back here about the how the data is collected, and this is a big problem as well if we talk about convenient or conventional longitudinal data, you've got waves, and you know that during a quarter or during a year you're collecting that wave. With this routinely collected data, the provider basically will go and provide the data whenever it's most suitable for them. So you get different entrance points and different intervals, irregular intervals of time. So, however, I have to stress that huge potential. The coverage is great. So at the moment, the most recent data set covers around 30,000 providers. At least 50% are CQC registered, the one who are registered with the Care Quality Commission. But additionally, there is a good chunk of people who are small employers, individual providers, etc. And the most recent workers' data file covers around 600,000 or over individual workers. So the workforce is estimated in the UK around 2 million. So that is a good thing because that is only England. So we're hoping now, when it takes the national status, that actually all the employers would like to complete it. It's very sector specific, so there is no problem that we're not talking about definition. Do these people work in social care or not? They do, so we know that. And there is a hierarchical structure. This is very important in terms of analysis later on. So you've got the provider, you've got the provider within a certain area, and you've got the codes for the areas, and you've got the individuals within. So you can do a lot of things statistically in terms of controlling for hierarchical effect, multi-level modeling, things like that. So there is also, in terms of policy and business case and workforce development, there is a huge intention now to that workforce. So there is timely demographics, austerity, and unemployment. And there is potential as well to work with economics of care. So if you look at the workforce, the training of the workforce, the turnover, the types of skills, variability, you can link it to certain costs. And there is also the huge topic of pay and working conditions. And because you've got this hierarchical structure, you can link it to other data. You can link it to local data indices or you can, and this is what we're working with Skills for Care, that we try to link it with records with the CQC without us knowing who's who. So they do that in the back office, but we haven't reached that point yet. So, fabulous, but there are huge challenges when you come to analyze that, because there is no sampling framework. We don't know how many providers were there when we started in 2005. That is not available anywhere. You can come up with estimates, and this is the best you can come up with. And no regular intervals for data collection. So you've got, and I'll give some examples of how many people can come in and out of the system. So irregularities in data completion by different providers. Again, because the provider provided information about their workforce, so not all of them have provided 50%. You don't know if this 50% is a representative of all the workforce or not, so there are issues here. And also, because it's emerging and it's evolving, there are alterations in the questionnaire itself. So over the years, Skills for Care make consultations and they add questions, they remove questions, they add fields. So that makes, that's fine if you're doing cross-section, taking one data set and trying to examine, but if you're trying to link data and look longitudinally, that can make some problematic. And it's cumulative, and there is issue of archiving. It's a very technical thing what Skills for Care do, which is that they override, when the employer comes report again, they override the previous one, and then they archive every now and then. So you have actually to have access to so many data sets rather than the last one to try to build up and construct something that you can work with. Right, so that provides additional challenges to the NMDS in addition to the usual longitudinal. And the data size is one issue. If we're talking about 500 on average for workers, and we need to work with 18, 19 data sets over 2005 to 2011, that means that we're talking about millions of records that you try to go through them. And we had to be very innovative in designing like a programming architecture to go through that and which variables we were going to pick first and things like that. And there is a cumulative property, so we're not losing providers, we're gaining more providers, but because maybe they haven't, and some people go out and some people come in. So again, that makes things difficult. And I went through the changing data fields. So that kind of computational, all of that more kind of computational things. But also there is methodological, which to do with the usual longitudinal data analysis methods that have been used. And we've got these unusual patterns of follow-up, number of iterations and attritions, and censoring, and then variability. And then missing data is a big thing, because you don't know whether you've lost the worker, information about the worker because he has left, or because the provider decided that at T1 they provided 50%, didn't include that person or included it, but the next time they didn't include him. So we have to work out creatively and look at many kind of data points to try to impute and come up with something reasonable. Right, so I'm going to talk a specific example that we have done. So because we spend a lot of time just trying to come up with a system and a way of thinking to make this data as useful as possible. And we wanted to look at the provider, because this is the main unit to start with. So we looked at data from December 2007 up to March 2011. We had at least 18 databases within that period of time. And each database contains from 13,000 to 25,000. And that resulted, and I may talk about valid records, because some of them are not valid to use because there is no ID or some other crucial point missing that we won't be able to link them. So we're talking about around just above 400,000 records to try to construct something. And number of updates, additional updates, some providers happened to appear once during that window, some appeared 18. So we've got 18 different points at a time. And it's a continuous process. So we get data. We decided to get the data. Skills for Care can provide you data every month, but we decided to have every quarter, because that every month we can't catch up with everything. So we decided that losing in between, because we will lose some who have been overwritten or archived or whatever. So this is an example. This is what the record. So you can see that over 12,000 had at least two points, 13,000. Then you come down up to the 18, and only 25 providers appeared 18 times. So you've got this whole range of different activities going on. And that is an example of someone who have, some providers have 18 records over time. And you can see from that graph that in the middle there is a more density, but at the end, the edges, there are less density. But you've got a good span with these providers. But also you can find points very close together. And this is because how the data is returned. Because sometimes providers enter the information, then realize they missed something, so the next day or the next week they do something else. So it's not really a true update, rather than it's a continuous process. So we have to look at the time difference. That one is two updates. And I use this graph because every point, the darker the point, it means that there's so many on top of each other. And you can see that we've got a nice kind of range. And there are points of time where there's a lot of activities happening with these two. And when we ask it why this is happening, try to understand, they will link it to the incentives that I've talked about, the training money. So when the training money is time for it, people do go quickly and complete it. So that gives us an idea about why this is happening. Now, try to look at all those because, as has been said, you have to have at least two points to have any longitudinal understanding. So, and this was the kind of a range of the density of the data that we have. And we have two peaks. And this is why in the example that I'm going to talk, which is the starting point, we decided to look at the time around these peaks because we have the most returns of these peaks. And we looked further into all these are kind of a predictive, trying just to understand the structure of the data. Okay, we've got two points, at least two points. So how many days are there between the earliest point and the furthest point? And each of these colored curves, the first one, is from one day to 180 days. And you can see that there was a huge peak at one day because it means that people were just filling it up. So it's not really two points. It's just one point. But they took a couple of days, 3 days, to complete the forms. But then what's encouraging that you've got actually quite a good distribution for those who have larger range number of days between each two points. They've got 360 to 540. So that was really encouraging for us, that it means that we've got good coverage to look at trends if we wanted to. So that is a simple example that I will talk about. That we looked, because the recruitment and retention is always a big issue with the social care. So we wanted to look at the bulk of those, the care workers, the direct workers who are at least 70% of the workforce, and look at changes over time on the turnover and vacancy rate. And we looked at two points, the one that we had two peaks, that covers around 2 years, January 2008 and January 2009. And also, the providers offer information about why people leave. So the questionnaire goes, how many people left during the last year? They put numbers, and then a pre-coded question, how many left because of pay, working conditions, etc., etc., etc. You can't really link who has left because what, so you can't really do much in understanding later on if somebody with disability has left because of that, but you can have a general picture. And again, this is part of the limitation of routinely collected data because I have to work with what you have, and then maybe you can link it further with something else. And then we were interested to look at these changes in reasons among those who have improved their turnover over the 2 years or actually things have been going badly. But before doing that, we had to do a little bit of pre-analysis because we didn't have a sampling frame and I wanted to know the representativeness, you know, the data quality. So we did a lot of work around that, and the first conceptual piece was how would you find a panel? What do you want to do? What is the T1? What is the T2? What's the range that you can include? So we decided to have the T1, as I said, January 2008, and allow plus or minus three months at each end, and then T2. And we identify that there is nearly 3,000 providers who have at least two points in these areas. So at this point, we weren't interested about fluctuation within. We just looked at what was the situation in January 08 and what is the situation January 10. And on average, they had around 602 days, which is from 18 to up to 2 years, around that. So that was a good coverage. We did investigate sample representation as much as we can, which basically to look at these 3,000 and how they compare to the whole lot at the marsh at the beginning of 2008, and how they compare to the whole lot that we have in January 2010. And that was overall very good and very encouraging. So it was there wasn't a selection bias there. And also the one thing that we noticed that some changes happened from the sector. So at T1, some of them were like local authorities, then they became private. And then when we checked that with Scarce Care, they said that it's to do with the better data reporting, because at the beginning they had fewer questions. So we decided to use T2 as the sector. The other thing that we noticed is that change in size, so the size of the organization may have grown or shrinked a bit, and we assume that this is to be a true evolution of the business. Some business has grown, some business has grown. And then we looked at the imputation. If there are certain elements that we don't know, can we note from others? But we didn't do anything at this stage because there was nothing. Most of the stuff that we wanted was bog standard, because most of them provided number of turnover. The others, if they didn't provide the total, because they provided different things, we can sum these up and try to come to an estimate. Right, these are findings, and I the way you saw this presentation, I'm not going to give you a lot of things, but I wanted to highlight something. We looked at these 3,000, and then looked at the average turnover rate at T1, and their average turnover rate at T2. And you can see that it's 22.5, 22.9, almost nothing different. So at the first glance, we say, nothing happened. The turnover rate is always the same. I have to say that vacancy rate has declined, but that what you get from that. But then we said, okay, we've got longitudinal data, we have to do better than that, we're not gonna take averages. So we looked at the panel providers and said that among those who had complete data, there are a group over 600 that the individual provider has turnover has increased, and almost the same group had that decreased. The remaining has remained the same. But what was interesting that they cancelled each other completely. So you have one dropped from 43 to 17, the other one moved from 15 up to 44. So that was really interesting, because it means that if you look on average, everything is fine, everything is the same, but there are certain groups that were different. And we did a lot of analysis, what is the difference between these groups in terms of sector, but I will show you something to do with the reason for leaving. So we said the next one is that, okay, let's look at those who had improved the turnover rate and look at why they think, the provider think, why employers has left, and then look at the other group. So those who has the turnover declines, which means that it improved, they did better, they said that pay and working nature was significantly less important. So at T2, they realized that the pay was better and the working nature, which means that the suitability of candidates were better. When we contrast that to those who have things went badly, we find that dismissals had increased significantly and unknown reasons had increased. And these are the unknown of the provider, and we usually have this assumption that when the provider say unknown, that may mean that things have gone terribly wrong one way or another. And that will give you some indication that actually when we looked at this longitudinal change among the same provider, we can see that perhaps those people to keep the vacancy rate, because we linked that to vacancy rate, but I'm not showing that here, to keep the vacancy rate low, has substituted that by employing anybody, and then they have higher dismissal rate and they have higher turnover rate. So actually, this group has got a lot of people coming in, but leaving quickly to keep this vacancy rate stable, but the turnover rate was very high. So that gives you some insight into that. Right, so what are we going to do with that? You know, this is just a simple example of 2 points. What we actually in trying to plan for and put a concept is to have a longer period of time, because we want to have perhaps 2007 up to until end of 2012, and that will give you at least 5 years. And then instead of looking at just 2 points of time, look at all the interims. So we look at all the changes over time and what's happening. And also look at in detail about the providers' characteristics. So not only we looked at the size of the organization, we looked at the sector, I can't remember what we looked at as well. We looked at something else. But there are other factors that we can look at, and we can actually link as well to some local characteristic like the mountain deprivation or unemployment in the local area, because we can actually identify providers within very small local areas, so we can have a better picture of that. And also because we can link these aggregate data to the individual workers, we can know more about the structure and profile of this provider, of this unit, in terms of the workforce. How many of them are paid near the national minimum wage? How many of them are migrants? How many of them are old workers? How many of them are volunteers? So we can actually have more elements in the model. Then we can also, what the plan is to build an economic evidence for this turnover. So we have another piece of work, the discussion going on, is to estimate the cost of recruiting a new care worker, including the kind of agency assessment, initial training, induction. And then build that in the model, is that every time you lose one and you need to bring him or her back, that would be your cost. And then come up with actually those who have maintained reduced the turnover, have saved that much money, or those who have, you know, a higher turnover, that would be your cost. So that is currently going on. Now, sorry.
Getting close to
all right, okay, I'll go quickly about that, which is the workers' level, and this is still ongoing because it's required much, much more work in terms, you know, sheer number of data and just, you know, kind of programming. And we came up with something, we call it virtual mapping, which means that to be able to run these things, we don't have to retrieve everything, we just need to retrieve a few things that we want to work with. At least until we're happy with the model, and then we can introduce things. And that means that we have to be very careful in designing what we want in the model, what are the key things at the beginning. And we actually had to use people who have these programming skills, so we draw on a company that helps us with that sort of thing. Right, I'm going to get on that, never mind. This is just to give you an idea about the record. But there are a lot of issues to consider. Especially when we talk about, because the next piece we want to do with the workers' level is to understand their occupational mobility and pathway, career pathways and career progression. And there are competing risks that involve, some people can completely exit or go to another job within the employer, or go to another job in a different employer, or retire or die. So have a lot of competing risks. And in a statistical term, this is very difficult. You know, this is very complicated, and we have to decide which competing risks we want to look. And also this issue of late entry and risk sits, you know, when they come to our knowledge, how long they have spent in our window, and a lot of technical issues. And censoring, while we know some intelligence from the data, because some of the provides information about how long they have been working with them, how long have they been in sector, so we can induce some of that and impute some of that. Right, so just watch this space. We work, these are the issues that we want to look at that I mentioned quickly. These are thanks to the DH for money, Skills for Care for data, analytical research for the programming and technical support, and email me, and this is a link to the project for more information and the report that has come out. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.